Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
Well, something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes,
no dice.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Whoa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 253, Tokyo Game Show 2011 Show of Shows. Wombat, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Just all right?
Just all right.
Shipwreck? Better than all right?
I'm excited, yes. I want to hear all about TGS.
You do?
You mean the girly show? The show within a show on 30 Rock?
Right, that's exactly what it is. Well, we're going to talk about that later. I only went to the first day, the first business day of that, and instead of going back for a second day, I thought it would be better to do a CADcast because I think anything would be better than going back for a second day. But you'll hear...
I don't know what that's a bigger insult to, the Tokyo Game Show or to the show that we do together.
No. I actually thought it would be more fun to do the CADcast. It's not an insult to the CADcast at all.
It looked not so fun. At least you took pictures that looked not so fun.
Well, the half-naked girls didn't look fun to you?
That was okay. Just the overall presence there. Like, there, it seemed like there was a lot of empty space. It just looked kind of sad.
Yeah, that's the overriding theme of the show, is sort of Japanese game industry sad. But we'll talk about that. We'll get to that soon. Don't worry. We'll sort of buzz through some of our other stuff here. I see Wombat finally saw X-Men First Class, and everybody wants to know Wombat's opinions on comic book anything and everything.
It was okay. Actually, no, that's not true. I really liked the movie, and I'm glad I bought it, and I'll watch it again.
Wait a minute. Okay.
What?
It was okay. You went from it was okay to I really liked it, and I bought it.
I bought it. Well, I bought it because I had to. That's the only way I was going to see it, was to buy it.
Right.
And I had a coupon. So I'm like, I'll use my coupon to for this Blu-ray.
Okay.
And it's good. My problem with it, and I guess we'll get into a little. Do we want to get a little spoilery or, you know, whatever?
Well, people can fast forward if they.
Yeah.
For a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't like the character development of Mystique. I felt that she turned a little too quickly.
Right. She went to the dark side, like, all of a sudden.
Like, oh, you know, I'm going to... This guy took me in when I had nothing. I've lived with him for the last 13 years.
But he's given me.
Yeah. He's given me everything everything I have is because of him. Otherwise, I'd probably would have starved to death on the street.
Right. And not just that, but beyond that. Friendship and, you know,
yeah,
everything.
He's my best friend.
She was really horny, though. Like, she was really horny. I get it why she turned bad.
But she could have gotten laid as long as she wasn't blue.
Beast would have boned her.
Beast didn't care. And, like, where's William Shatner? He likes those blue chicks.
That is true. And green and invisible and even whale chicks.
She was horny. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yes. That's right. All of a sudden, she's like, you know... People don't like me because I'm blue, so I'm going to be evil.
I'm evil now. It was literally like that. Like, what? Oh, there's only 3 minutes left in the movie. I'm evil now.
Oh, and you shot my only friend in the world.
You shot my only friend in the world in the back. Oh, wait. Oh, the movie ends in 2 minutes. I'm evil. Gotta keep up with the continuity.
Did you enjoy the... The red shirt character, the newly created red shirt character for the movie.
Oh my god, it was so funny because as soon as they showed him, I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. And I looked at my wife and go, oh, he's going to be dead in 10 minutes.
Yeah, my ability is that I can adapt to my surroundings.
Yeah.
He obviously can't adapt to his surroundings because they put that thing inside him, that energy thing inside him, and he didn't adapt.
Nope. He tried to.
Yeah, he tried.
Really hard.
Not hard enough. I liked it. And yeah. Mrs. Cheapy liked it too.
It's a fun movie. I'll watch it again. It just, yeah, that I really, like, the whole character, the Mystique character kind of just, it felt shoehorned, and then it didn't feel complete.
Yeah. Professor X was a good cat, and Magneto, that whole thing, and even Kevin Bacon was good too, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Kevin Bacon was great. When have you ever seen Kevin Bacon bad?
Right.
There's no such thing as a bad Kevin Bacon performance.
Or even bad bacon.
Or even bad bacon. My favorite bit of trivia from IMDb was this is the second show or movie that January Jones has been in that's been set in 1962 and features a pork-based named co-star.
Oh, ham. Yeah.
Ham and bacon.
Ham and bacon.
That's crazy. Yeah.
She's obviously not Jewish.
She was terrible, by the way.
She has this monotone. Maybe she was supposed to be monotone.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with the character of whose name I forgot already.
Emma Frost.
Yeah, I don't know her.
She's supposed to be cold. That's like the whole, her name is Emma Frost.
Right, I guess. That's obvious.
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
All right.
We
liked it. It was
good.
I don't
even remember that character in the movie.
She had a nice body.
And she turns into Diamond. And then she gets replaced with Lenny Kravitz's kid.
Oh, that's right. I do remember her. She was like the Bond girl.
Yes, and she gets replaced with Fake Angel.
Who's Fake Angel?
Fake Angel, the stripper, Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Oh, that's Lenny Kravitz's daughter, okay.
Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet's kid.
Is that a real comic book character?
I think there's one that's from the Grant Morrison era named, I think it's like Pixie or something.
Okay.
That's the same character?
Maybe, yeah. Okay. All right.
I didn't really read those X-Men years. I was not a fan of that. Of those. I know some people will be shocked, and some people have no idea what I'm talking about, but I wasn't really a fan of those issues.
Understood. Okay. Shipwreck, anything going on with you?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. Let's
not anything too exciting. We got a big show ahead of us.
Yeah, let's go through the new releases. I haven't looked at this yet, so I don't know what's there. Shipwreck, why don't you take us through?
All right. Gunstringer came out for 360 Kinect. Mm-hmm. I played that at PAX. That's the last time I played it, and I guess there's that demo. It seems like a good Kinect game.
And it comes with Fruit Ninja.
It comes with Fruit Ninja and the Wavy Tube Man Chronicles.
Huh?
Yeah, that DLC. Free DLC.
It's like a fully FMV light gun type of thing.
It's an homage to Mad Dog McCree.
Oh, it's part of... That's DLC for which game? For Gunstringer.
Gunstringer.
Not for Fruit Ninja. Okay, got it. Okay, and it's $40, I think, right?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a bad deal at all.
Okay.
Let's see here. What else do we have?
NHL 12.
That came out.
I ordered it, but it hasn't come yet, sadly.
You'll appreciate this. On Sunday, Sabrina was in the house, and I'm like, we're going to go watch football. She goes, hockey? I go, no, we're going to watch football. I like hockey. And she walked away.
Why does she like hockey?
I don't know. I thought maybe you were talking to her behind my back.
No.
But I figured you'd appreciate that.
Well, it's supposed to be great. And I'm going to get it. So there.
I know you will.
Did you get the other sports releases this week? Nicktoons MLB?
No.
Hmm.
Won't be getting that.
Okay. Not that.
I still feel burned by the Konami one that I bought. The Powerhead or whatever. Bobbleheads or...
That wasn't bad for $10.
They tried to screw us with the DLC, though. I don't like that. In protest, I'm not playing.
That stuff never even came out, did it?
It did. It came out pretty quick. What else?
Let's see. The remakes of the God of War PSP games are out for PlayStation 3.
Right. The God of War, War Origins collection, which I played the demo in 3D, and it was good.
Those aren't bad games. Did you play the second game?
I don't even know what I played.
First one was Chains of Olympus. The second one was Sparta.
Not Chains
something.
Of Olympus.
Yeah.
Not going to help me with that question, but I was impressed, actually. I thought it looked pretty good. I was very impressed with the animation, I remember. I was like, wow, this is... And the 3D, too, wasn't bad.
I finished the first one on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the only game I ever finished on the PSP.
Hmm. All right. So you got that.
Then the BitTrip games have been compiled for both the Wii and the 3DS. I'm kind of interested in picking that up for the 3DS. BitTrip Saga is the 3DS version, and BitTrip Completes the Wii version.
I've never played those games, but it sounds like I might like it because they're music games, right?
They have a music element to all of them.
They're more platformy.
No, there's only one of them that's platformy. BitTrip Runner's the platformy one.
Yeah, that one I like.
There's one that's kind of like Pong. There's one.
How many games are there?
I think there's 6 games in total.
Oh, wow.
They're all pretty good. Some of them will last you a little longer than others. Some of them are a little bit too simple. But I'm interested to see what they did with the 3D stuff because the graphics in those are all just basically little blocks and everything. I mean, you have Commander Video, but he's very like much a 16-bit or 8-bit looking character. So I think they could do some cool stuff with the 3D.
Right. Yeah. I'm sort of looking forward to seeing what they do with Child of Eden on PS3 in 3D. But okay. Yeah. That's something to look out for.
I still wish they would bring those to like PSN and Xbox Live though.
Yeah. What
I just
going
want
on
really
now?
Crisp versions of those. Like, I don't know. Let's see. Star Fox 64 3D came out. I put out a review for that. That's Star Fox. I think we talked about that last week, actually.
We did.
And then for downloadable services, there's some pretty good games. You like that, downloadable services?
I enjoyed that. Yeah, that made me.
It wasn't a very good. That's not really what they're called. for PSN and Xbox Live, Renegade Ops came out, which is a very cool little twin stick shooter. It's got a very G.I. Joe feel to it, and at least the parts that I've played, you go around in like a little Jeep and you're shooting everything. Explosions look great. Overall, the graphics just look like really sharp and really detailed for this type of game.
It has co-op, online co-op?
It's got online co-op and local co-op.
Can you get out of the car?
I do not remember if you can get out of the car or not. I played it at PAX. I got a code for it, but I haven't started playing it the full version yet. So I'll talk about it more next week. But it's definitely a cool game.
Cool.
And then Radiant Silver Gun came out for Xbox Live Arcade, which is the old Saturn shmup that sells for a lot of money and everybody really likes it. I tried playing it. It's really hard. It's got like some. It's made by Treasure, and it has some Ikaruga-style gameplay to it. I think they even added a scoring system to make it even more like Ikaruga in this version. But basically, there's different colored enemies on the screen, and you want to build up your multiplier by only shooting like blue enemies and dodging the red and the yellow ones. You can shoot them all, but you're not going to get as high a score. Cool. And it's just crazy. Like, most shmups, it just uses a couple buttons. You have a couple different weapons or whatever. This one uses like every button on the 360 controller, and every one of them does something different.
Sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah, exactly. You just slide right into this one.
But I know people like that stuff, so good. By the way, that Renegade Ops has actually 4-player online co-op.
You guys should pick that up. I'd like to play that with you.
You have it? You got a code?
I do have it.
Is that a $15?
I would assume it's a $15 one.
I believe it's a $15.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Definitely.
I'll at least check out the demo.
All right.
Make Wombat buy it with a GPD promise.
Oh, well, I have to check it out first. I can't just throw those guarantees out there. I need to really investigate it.
That seems like that's probably it. It's a little bit slower than last week, but that's because next week is Gears of War and everybody's trying to get out of the way.
You didn't get that yet?
Never heard of it.
For review?
I should have it by the time most people listen to this show.
You're on the Plan B send-out schedule?
I put my request in very late, so sure.
But I see.
I'll probably still have a review up by the time it comes out, so it's not really that big of a shocker that it's good. I mean...
Right.
What did you expect?
All right. Yeah, it does look cool. I mean, I played a lot of the multiplayer beta, and even though I wasn't good at it, it's somehow still fun.
Wombat and I played some of that together, and we agreed. Like, we were terrible at it, but it's still really fun to just run around. And then when you get that one kill and it explodes.
Exactly. When you do that roll into somebody and then you just shotgun them in the head, it's pretty satisfying.
Yes.
That's cool. Okay, so I ordered it. I ordered it from Amazon Japan, so I'll have it next week. Very good. Let's see. Some quick CAG shopping news, and sort of, I think we'll all agree this even extends further than just like a deal report here. So GameStop seems to be blowing out PlayStation Move, not just the hardware, but the software too. They had, you know, the hardware was 50% off, pretty much everything but the camera, the eye toy or whatever it's called. And the games, a whole bunch of the games were $10. Now, GameStop is not really known for their aggressive sales, especially hardware. So, I mean, this is not a good sign for the Move, I don't think.
You also have to wonder how many Move peripherals and games do you think they had to stock up? Like, maybe there was some sort of deal like, oh, we'll get you this if you get enough Move and help us promote it.
Or they're just sitting on a mountain of Move stuff.
That's what, yeah, like maybe they're sitting on more than they thought because they may have ordered more than they thought. But the amount that they've ordered may have been more than they, they may have ordered way too much.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I think a lot of this stuff, especially the games, I think it's just been sitting there since launch.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these games that are on the sale, all the launch games, the Kung Fu Riders and The Fight. Well, I guess The Fight was not a launch game, but shortly thereafter, and The Shoot and everything like that. Launch window. Let's go with that. They weren't really $40 games. Like, they shouldn't have come out at that price point to begin with. Yeah. So it's not surprising that nobody bought them.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was definitely surprised to see that.
Yeah, I picked some stuff up, though, during it. I picked up the Sure Shot, the big rifle.
Oh, yeah. How is that? Have you tried it yet?
I have. I tried it with Resistance, which we'll talk about a little later. But for Resistance, it doesn't work all that great for me.
Is that the big rifle that I think was bundled with SOCOM at some point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, so that's the really cool one.
Yeah. It was $20 at GameStop.
Oh, awesome.
And so the issue I have with it is it's really cool. It feels okay, but the front part of it is where you put all the controllers at. So you put a navigation controller up there, and you put the Move controller up there. So the whole thing is kind of heavy towards that front end, and that's the end that you're holding up with your weak hand. So after about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes of Resistance, my hands were tired from being like that. I think the shooting aspect of it is pretty cool, and it does like a little pump action reload, which is also neat. But for like full games like Resistance, I just couldn't do it. Like, the way you turn and everything, since you don't have that second analog stick, is it does the thing where you bring the cursor up and move it to the side of the screen, and then it turns
like off the screen almost.
Yeah. You move it to the edge of the screen, and it'll turn like whichever edge you're at. And that's just not going to work for, at least for me. When you get into these firefights and you're trying to like spin around real quick, I don't know, that it's not set up well for that. But for light gun games, which is why I got it, I think it's going to work real well.
How do you like Resistance 3?
It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. It's for PlayStation 3 first person shooters, I'd say it's right up there with Killzone 2 for me. I think those are the top two that I've played on PlayStation 3. It's much better than the first two Resistances were.
Cool. All right. I got to check that out. I mean, that's going to be very cheap here very soon, so I'll wait a little bit on that, I think.
But it'll be cheap in Japan, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Not over here.
It's already cheap. It's already... You know, most games are like, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 yen, and this is below 5,000. You know, all these Western releases, Sony first party, like Western releases, are usually like much cheaper than any other games that come out. So,
yeah, but it does a very good job with the, like, the story's decent. It doesn't feel like the first couple games felt like you were like part of a military squad, and it just didn't do it as well as what Battlefield and Call of Duty do. And it just kind of felt generic to me. But this one.
Did you just say duty do?
Mm-hmm.
Just checking.
This one, it's got a much different atmosphere to it. You're more of just like a single guy, and then occasionally you'll run into other survivors and everything. But it's a much more tense experience, and all the weapons are cool. It's got the Ratchet and Clank style weapons in there again. So those are kind of neat. And I don't know, it's a very good game.
Awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I'll grab that at some point. Let's see.
I'll play co-op with you then.
Oh, good, good.
It's got online 2-player co-op.
Let's do some multi-platforming stuff, and then we'll go into Tokyo Game Show. Was that okay?
That's fine. We don't want to tout our new sponsors.
We're gonna do that in a second. Okay, we'll do the new sponsors first. Fine. And when we say sponsors, we really mean we just signed up for this thing, and they said okay.
Yeah, they're not actually. They're not. They haven't paid us anything.
They haven't like. Yeah, they haven't like come. They didn't like approach us and say. So, yeah. So now we're plugging Audible. Do you know anything about Audible, Wombat?
It's an audiobook service online to get audiobooks for your ear holes.
Yeah, my mom is a subscriber and she really likes it. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cadcast, you get a free 2-week trial and a free audiobook to download. And we get paid if you just sign up. You don't even have to buy anything. You don't have to spend any money. And it's a nice amount of money. It's like $15.
So, yeah, and there's some good books available. Tons of them.
I'm making accounts right now.
Yeah, what do you recommend, accounts? GPD?
Yeah.
Multiple accounts.
Yeah, so if go to audibletrial.com/cadcast and sign up, Wombat and Shipwreck are going to get pizzade, okay? And if, you know, I'm not like a math genius, but if 1,000 people sign up, let's see, that is $15,000.
Everyone needs to sign up right now.
That's only 1,000 people. We have 20,000 people listening. So
everyone needs to sign up now.
If everyone signs up, you pay for Wombat's kids' school, college.
And I would greatly appreciate that. Audibletrial.com/cadcast. Audible or go fuck yourself.
I don't know if they're that forgiving. So
yeah, I don't know either.
with our sort of freewheeling style. But I'll say I'm going to recommend a book, and I actually checked. It's there to download. I really enjoy this series. The series itself doesn't have a name, but the first book in the series is called Bangkok 8, and it's about a cop in Thailand, and it's got a really neat style to the book. He talks to the reader, and he's telling you about what it's like in Thailand. And he talks to the reader as if he's, you know, basically a foreigner who really can't understand what life is like there. And it's a really neat style. And it has sex and drugs and violence, and I don't know. I've read all four books in the series, but Bangkok 8 is the first one. And I highly I haven't checked out the audiobook, but the books are awesome. So I highly recommend you check out Bangkok 8 by John Burdett. And I saw that they also had Bossy Pants on there, which I started reading. I read about 100 pages of that.
Oh, what do you think? I read that.
Yeah, it was cool. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It is funny.
It's very, you know, and Tina Fey reads the audiobook. So those are two quick recommendations. Audibletrial.com/cadcast. Thank you very much.
They've got the Gears of War books on there too.
There you go. You get a free book.
I just knocked Grant Morrison before. I'll recommend his new book that's supposed to be really good, and I'm going to get it for my Kindle. Super Gods, What Masked Vigilantes, Miraculous Mutants, and Sun Gods from Smallville Can Teach Us About Being Human, his new nonfiction book about the history of superheroes, is supposed to be excellent. And I would totally listen to that in audiobook form.
Especially if it's free.
It's free, and it's 16 hours and 47 minutes.
Value.
That's a lot of value for your free audiobook dollar.
Right. Non-dollar.
Non-dollar.
Excellent. Okay, so thanks everybody for checking that out. Let's do Tokyo Game Show. Or no, we said we were going to do multi-platforming stuff. Just a few quick things. I want to, and this is actually also Tokyo Game Show because it was there too. The Ace Combat, the new Ace Combat demo is up, at least on Xbox Live. I don't know about PSN.
It is on PSN as well. Okay. I downloaded it.
Did you play it?
There. I have not yet.
Wombat, you checking out?
I played a little bit of it at the Namco event not too long ago that I went to.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it is. It's really good. And there's a storyline and everything.
There's a storyline, and they've managed to make everything very cinematic. So
they did, and you can really tell where they are. The thing that I said on a previous episode was I didn't have to ask where they were. I was
where you're flying over, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, so this takes place in Miami. And the guy goes, yep.
Because you can just see. They've done it's. If you played Ace Combat before and you were sort of turned off by it, I think it really has a completely different look to it now. And you can fly attack helicopters. Or helicopter, I'm not sure. But they're both in the demo. You can try out the helicopter and the planes. And Shipwreck designed the engine for the helicopter. Isn't that true?
One of them, yes.
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 So definitely, I highly recommend checking that out.
The one that goes backwards or upside down only, that's the Shipwreck copter.
That's the one. The one that gets shot down in every video game.
Wait a minute. No, so here's a question for you. I think I already know the answer, but helicopters can't do loops, right?
No.
Because you can do them in this game.
You can do a barrel roll, right?
You can do a barrel roll.
You can do a barrel roll. I would not want to be in a helicopter that can do a barrel roll. I'm not an expert on helicopters, but I'm pretty sure that's bad news.
Yeah, because I saw Blue Thunder, and I remember like they said it was impossible, even though he did it in Blue Thunder. Roy Schneider is the only man alive who can do a loop in a helicopter.
He's not even alive.
And he's not even alive anymore, so nobody can
no
do it.
No one can do it.
But you could do it in Ace Combat. That's how you avoid the missiles. But it's cool. Definitely give the demo a shake. Wombat, you checked out the hunting super rig that Shipwreck did last
week? Yeah, I went there yesterday to the RV when it hit Manhattan. I have some photos that haven't been emailed to me yet, but some funny pictures of me holding fake guns. And I will say the Kinect gun is pretty badass.
There's a Kinect gun with the lights on.
Yeah, it's a gun designed for a Cabela hunting game that's designed for Kinect. And the gun uses a light system, a light gun, so to speak.
Right.
And it has like a blue light on the end and these other lights that stick out. But just the way the gun looks is very cool. And those are what the pictures of me holding it's pictures of me holding that gun. So you'll be able to see what that looks like. And I shot some bunny rabbits and I saw the demo. What's the guy's name, Shipwreck, who does the demo? His name is like a verb.
Johnny Cabela.
It's like Recoil or Rakondo or...
Rakondo's a G.I. Joe.
Reload.
We'll call him Reload. She gave me the demo. And it was a good time. I miss Shawn Michaels. When I got there, he was at lunch. He was supposed to be there signing autographs. But I got a t-shirt with wolves on the back. And
Six wolves.
And it was fun. I mean, the games are... I like the arcade style. I'm a big fan of the arcade versions of the game. I'm interested to see how they do with the third person. With the
crazy,
third person,
right?
Yeah. It's very interesting. Did we talk about this last week in depth? I don't even remember.
That's the action adventure one, right?
Yeah, it's a third person action adventure game. I don't think we mentioned that.
No, we did.
We mentioned that it's third person?
I think so.
Oh, it's third person and it has platforming and it's very different because it uses that gun. If you've never seen the gun, the gun's really cool though.
All right. Well, people will check it out.
Yeah. It's a shame. I mean, not a shame, but that they don't really market this gun with more games for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. Because I think there's a market for those games, for light gun games, good ones.
All right. I like good light gun games.
Yeah. Me too.
Let's do Tokyo Game Show, shall we?
Some helicopters can do barrel rolls and flips.
Okay, but not like the Apache, though, right?
I think it's probably specially designed ones.
Yeah, this one
looks
was
like these Red Bull aerobatic helicopters can
these,
and stuff.
These were not Red Bull helicopters in the game. And they do a barrel roll in like 1 second. It's just like, whew! Okay, Tokyo Game Show 2011. Did you guys watch either of the pre-show press conferences? There's a 3DS one and a Vita one. You were probably sleeping during them because they were here.
If I can be asleep, I am asleep.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the big thing to come out of the 3DS press conference was Monster Hunter 4, and I don't think anybody in America really cares about that. But in Japan, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And of course, people have seen the slide pad add-on, which is really mostly for Monster Hunter 4, but it supports some other games as well. But they actually didn't even show it during the press conference or even make mention of it. But that was all right. And the Sony had a Vita one too, I think the day before TGS. It was on Wednesday. And that was pretty boring. That was a pretty horrible press conference. They didn't really show much in the way of games. They were showing like the menus and stuff. Like, I don't know.
How are those? Were those good?
No. It was okay.
It's all those little circles, right?
Yeah, a lot of circles. A lot of touching circles. But I think like some of the biggest news to come out of that, I think it was actually maybe released right after the press conference, was the battery life of the Vita, which is actually worse than the 3DS.
Which
not surprisingly, because, you know, giant screen, better graphics.
You've touched one of these things now, right?
I have touched it and I've played a game.
It's huge, right?
Dude, I think you're a little crazy. It's not huge. It's like an inch bigger than the PSP.
In all directions.
No. No. Look at a photo of it, like one on top of the other. I was expecting like this, you know,
like an iPad.
like a small Android tablet. I was like, wait, this looks like a PSP in every way. It's a PSP. Maybe your hands got smaller, Shipwreck.
I think he's upset.
He can't hold the light gun.
I'm looking for a picture to see if there's a picture.
Google PSP Vita size comparison, because I did that this morning, because I really thought you were way off on that. I mean, it's not small, but I wouldn't say, oh my god, this is significantly a different size or shape than the PSP. Not at all. But I don't know. I mean, I got to. I mean, while we're talking Vita, well, let's talk some Vita. So the Vita was obviously the biggest draw at the show at TGS by far. You know, they could have just called this the Vita show, because the Sony booth, the Vita section, it's where all the people were. I mean, everything else was pretty much you could just walk right on and play it. But if you wanted to play Vita, they had you go to a special section and you get online and you choose what game you want to see first before you pick the line. And they have signs up telling you what the wait is. So I'm with my pal, Jon Snow. Everybody drink. Jon Snow.
Never heard of him.
So we looked at all the lines, and we got there. The show opens at 10 o'clock. We were on the show floor by 10:15. We're looking at all the signs, like, all right, you know, Uncharted. The line's already an hour for Uncharted. Going through everything. Wipeout has the shortest line, 20 minutes. It's like, all right, we can do 20 minutes. Get on the line. The lines, all the lines for all the games are right next to each other, jam-packed. And if you saw my picture that I tweeted, you can really get a look at it. So you're basically shoulder to shoulder with everybody at the show. Now, it is very hot in Tokyo in the summertime. And this summer, every place is trying to save electricity because of the tsunami knocking out the power plants. You know, there are people trying to save electricity. It is extraordinarily hot at Tokyo Game Show. People are sweating. Within the first 10 minutes of the show, most people are sweaty messes. And you're standing, you know, butts to nuts, shoulder to shoulder with everybody on the Vita line. Not a very pleasant experience. So, but we're like, all right, 20 minutes, who cares? You get to the front of the line. We're like, all right, here we are. They hand you a ticket with a number on it. You go over to a table, and then they have you play these mini games.
Isn't this how the Nazis rounded up Jews?
I don't want to even make jokes about that, but I felt like I was being played. Like it was like a really bad joke. So
step right into here, sir.
Yeah, you play your 20 minutes are up. Now we're playing like you're basically trying to push numbers on a screen as fast as you can in order with like five other people, and the woman's like making a big deal about who did it first. And we're like, you know, we're not waiting and sweating to play this stupid number touching mini game. So we're like, all right, I guess we're gonna play Wipeout like right away, right next. Then they lead you over to another area, which is another line, and now this is where all the games are. So all of a sudden they'll call, okay, they'll say Wipeout, Wipeout. And whoever has the lowest number gets to go. So we waited on that line for like another 30 minutes. At this point, it's like the worst cock tease too, because you've been waiting a long time and they call Wipeout. You're like, oh yeah, I got Wipeout. I got a ticket that says Wipeout on it. And mine says number 8 on it. And then, oh, some guy pulls up number 6. Like, oh, all right. So it's not my turn now. So yeah, we waited there for like another 30, maybe even longer, 30, 40 minutes. And people, I hate people. They give you like 15 minutes to play the game. Don't take all 15 minutes. You really need to stand there and play Wipeout for 15 minutes. You do like one or two laps. You understand the game. You leave. You let somebody else try. But no, people take the full 15 minutes.
This is on the press day too, right?
This is on the industry day, press only day. I can't like, even imagine.
If it's on the public day, I get that. Like I wasn't upset at PAX when people would stand there and play for like a half hour.
Right.
But press day, yeah. Like
It's actually not press day. It's called industry day. So if you basically have any game industry association, you can get in.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
So people are just, I don't know. And it's so I played Wipeout. And eventually, after like 50 minutes or maybe even an hour, at which point I'm already pissed off because I've played Wipeout a million times. I know what Wipeout is. And of course, I picked it up on the Vita, and guess what? It's Wipeout. You know, you can play with motion control where you just, you know, you tilt the thing left and right to steer, and you touch the back pad.
Let's say one finger in the butthole, right?
Finger in the butthole to make the ship move forward.
What? Really?
That's how this is how the motion controls work.
Because okay.
Because you're not using any buttons with the motion controls, you're just using the pad on the back and tilting it. And it seemed fine, but I don't know why you would want to play that way as compared to using the regular stick. And it only uses just the left analog stick. It's fine. It looked good. I mean, it certainly doesn't look as good as the PS3 version, which I have. But, you know, it's Wipeout. Okay. So, I don't know. Like I said, Chip, I didn't think the thing was particularly big or... it seemed fine.
I posted a link there. With the size comparison.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now. I see it on the outline.
Compared to like a Nintendo 3DS.
Okay,
that thing is giant.
Well, okay. But I think maybe it's more fair to compare it to the PSP. It is bigger. Okay, it's bigger. It's bigger, but it's not. I don't think it's as giant as maybe you have led on. But maybe it's just I have...
When you're trying to fit something in your pocket, that thing is
okay,
big.
It's not going in your pocket. Unless you have cargo pants. And even if you have cargo pants, I think it's going to stick out, actually, looking at my cargo pants.
If you have a backpack.
And it's fine.
Then it's fine.
It's fine.
I mean, look at the thing. Like, if you put iPhone 4s on top of that image, you could get between 3 and 4.
That's true. Maybe, yeah. If you can work it so you can get a few in there. I don't know. I mean, So the battery life is 3 to 5 hours, and that's with like everything turned off. No Bluetooth, no network play. And so it's basically 3 to 5 hours is like the best you're going to get. And people were complaining about the 3DS, which is actually better than that.
It's in that same range.
It's like three. They say 3 to 7, I think. Or three.
It's like three if you're playing in 3D.
And you have the wireless on and things like that.
Yeah, it's like three.
Yeah. So you're in the same ballpark as that. And if you want memory for it, and I guess, you know, this is where you're saving your games. You're downloading games.
Not saving your games because the games come on cards.
Well, you can buy, but you can also download the games as well. So if you want to buy the games digitally, then you need a memory card. And it uses a Sony proprietary memory format. And at least in Japan, the prices are expensive. It's not entirely fair to give you the straight up, you know, the conversion from yen to dollars, because the yen is so strong against the dollar right now. And Sony will adjust that for America. But you're probably, for a 4 gigabyte memory card, you're probably looking at $25, you know. So, and that's pretty small. And when you get to 32 gigabytes, you're looking at over $100. So, yeah, there's that. But I don't know. I think the biggest question is really, is there a market for these dedicated gaming devices in America or outside of Japan?
There's a small market.
And I'd really love to see like what their sales projections are for these devices and like how realistic they are.
I think there's a market for dedicated gaming devices, handheld gaming devices.
You do? A big market? Like there was...
I think there's that DS market hasn't gone away, and I do not think that the iPhone is going to completely take away that market.
Not take away. I'm saying let's compare it to the previous generation's handheld devices. You think that that market is anywhere near as large as it was then?
Totally. Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I don't at all.
Well, that's...
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. I mean, you look at these devices, right? So they put out a new dedicated handheld device every 5 years, right? The PSP came out, I think, 6 years ago, right? The first PSP was like maybe 6 years ago.
That sounds about right.
They're competing with smartphones that, you know, at least... Well, so let's talk about the iPhone because that's... sort of like a known quantity, and all the Android stuff comes in so many different flavors. It's hard to even for me to understand, but talk about iPhone, iPad. They put out a new one of those every year. Every year they bring, you know, you're not talking about a gigantic leap from year to year, but significant. And certainly every 2 years, it's even more significant. You got people whose cell phone contracts are coming over. They're going to upgrade to a new one probably every 2 years at the least. And with these new models also comes the marketing blitz behind it, the hype behind it. People are going to want to do this. How can a handheld device that's only being really updated every 5 years, like upgraded significantly, compete with something like that?
The way the DS did it. There were how many different DSs? There's the DS, the DS Lite, and the DSi.
But it was a different
DSi
market.
XL.
But it's
and
a
the, right, yes, and the DSi XL.
But there's a different marketplace back then. A different market back then.
I think that there's a durability to the Nintendo product that parents would feel more comfortable buying for their children. Parents feel more comfortable buying a under $200 Nintendo device that can drop and still work.
What about this, Wombat?
An iDevice.
Right, I understand
that. iDevice where you have to buy your games. I think you'd be surprised how many people, even your age, are uncomfortable only buying their games online for their children on iTunes.
Why online?
I think that's kind of... The market is still there with the kids for the DS.
And I think that's the largest market. I think that that's still a huge enough chunk that, yes, I think that the market is not just there. I think it's just as viable and as strong as it was 5 years ago. It may be as viable and as strong as it was in 1990 when the first Game Boy came out.
But Wombat, when people upgrade their phones, right? When I get the new iPhone 5 when it comes out this year, what do you think is going to happen to my iPhone 4?
You're going to give it to Ty.
Exactly. And you know what that's going to cost me?
Nothing.
Nothing. A big, fat nothing.
And then when he goes to school and his friend has a 3DS and he wants a 3DS, you're going to buy it for him.
No. I'm going to take that kid and I'm going to punch him in the face.
Exactly.
Say, stay away from my son. Stop. No, Ty actually has a 3DS.
I know. Exactly.
Well, I'm not a good example. We're not good examples because we do
exactly
because
I think you overestimate how many people upgrade their iPhones all the time. Those
every
things
2 years, dude. Every 2 years, it's with the contract.
I don't have one.
Well, you're gonna get one, right?
I don't know.
Better get one.
I really don't like touchscreens for typing. I really don't like touchscreens for typing. Mm. I kind of need a keypad.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how these do. Look, I hope they do awesome. It's in my personal financial interest that everybody buys the 3DS, everybody buys the Vita.
I think that there's something to the tactile experience. I think there's something to the game cartridge that is appealing to parents for their kids.
Really?
There's that Mario. That's what's going to appeal.
And yes, and there's Mario, and there's Mario Kart. And
You think parents prefer buying $40 cartridges for their kids as compared to $1 things that the kids can't lose or break?
I think that there's...
In your face, man!
They lose the whole thing.
Yeah, they lose... It's true, they will lose the whole thing.
What do you mean? They're going to lose the phone but not lose the...
They'll
the
drop
DS?
It in a puddle, and that's the end of that.
Well, the DS loves puddles.
Well, but the DS is much cheaper to replace.
And you probably could drop that in a puddle and it would still work.
I'm going to try it later.
I think you should. I think the way it works, though, with the DS, I think the difference is that's something like that's a gift. It's like, oh, and you were, you know, happy birthday. Here's the DS game. Happy birthday. Here's an iPhone game that's a dollar.
Your kid doesn't care how much it costs.
This is exactly the reason I think the 3DS is going to do so well this holidays.
Why?
People have to buy their kids something, and this is out there.
Exactly. It's a gift, and there's something to it.
So let's talk Vita versus 3DS now.
Okay, that's a completely different argument.
Okay, let's talk
that.
That's
a different conversation. But yes, I think you're wrong about whether or not there's a bio.
Dude, I hope I'm wrong. I swear I
don't know if the 3DS is the right product right now. That's a whole other conversation.
But it's there and it's available and it's $170.
It has that warning on the box, so that's the only thing that bothers me. It has that warning that says, caution parents, this thing is going to make your child blind.
And yet the doctors have said that that's not true.
I know, they're just trying to cover themselves, but I think it's really hurting them to have that warning on there that the 3D is not for anybody younger than 7. I think it's really hurting them.
I mean, and what kind of chance does Vita have in America with it's coming out in Japan. They announced the date finally, December 17th. But America, there's no date. It's not coming out this year. So the 3DS is basically uncontested for the holiday season. And who knows for how much longer past that?
I don't think Sony cares.
And it's going to be $80 more.
It almost feels like they don't care.
They don't care about America.
Yeah,
they don't care about the West. I mean,
yeah, at least not with this product. Which may be true, may not be true. I don't know. I don't know what the market is for the Vita because I know it is a little price prohibitive. The PSP is not a household name, and I think it has a market with its fans, but beyond that, I don't know if it really has much. We don't know. I mean, how much money do you think they lost on the Go?
I don't know. I don't know if it like cost them that much to develop it. It certainly wasn't successful. We'll see. I mean, I'd like to see what their sales projections are, like how realistic they are.
But I think
outside
that,
of Japan.
Yeah, I think the only problem with the 3DS is that it doesn't appeal to me the way the way the DS appealed to me. The DS had a strong appeal to me. It still does.
It does.
More so than the iPhone does for a gaming system. The DS, we're not talking about the 3DS.
Right.
The Nintendo DS has more appeal to me as a gaming console than the iPhone ever will.
Why
not the 3DS? The 3DS does everything the DS does.
Because there's something about the 3DS that doesn't, because I have a DS. That's exactly my point, is I have a DS. I don't feel like I need a 3DS. I don't feel like there's enough there for me. This is my personal opinion. This is my perception. This is my perception.
An incremental upgrade.
And I don't feel like it's enough for me to say, oh, well, I don't need this DS anymore. I'm going to go and get the 3DS. I don't think that there's enough of a leap there for me
personally.
There
is, though. If you look at the graphics, there's a huge difference in graphics between the DS and the 3DS.
But that's not what Nintendo is selling.
Well, I know that.
That's not how they're marketing.
But you should know better than that.
I'm still not getting a 3DS because I know they're going to make another one that will be better. That's the other thing. For me, I know...
That's a fine argument there.
That's the educated guy who does a podcast argument, is I know there's going to be another one that's going to have the dual analog sticks and probably a better battery.
I don't know about that. I still don't think that's happening.
Oh, I do. I think the 3DDS is going to...
3DDS?
The 3DDS.
3D dual stick?
No, it's for 3 dentists.
Great. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see how it does. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong.
We really just spoke out of our ass for way too long there about stuff we don't know too much about.
All right, let's go back to TGS, back to the show floor. This year, the show is, every year the show is getting smaller and smaller, and this year is no exception. You can even see in some of the photos that I took and posted on my Flickr page that you can just see a lot of empty floor. The Microsoft booth is smaller than it was last year. The EA doesn't have EA is actually sharing a booth with Sega. Sega does their publishing here, so they basically just have latched on to Sega. I gotta say it's a little sad. I mean, you can whip through everything. I mean, look, if you want to play all the Vita games, you're gonna be sitting there online all day. But if you wanted to see everything else outside the Vita. Let's say you want to play one Vita game and then just basically see everything else on the show floor. You could do it all before lunchtime on the first day. I mean, if you go on an industry day, forget about the weekend. You're not even going to be able to move or breathe. But it's sad. It is sad, and it's it's so hot and sweaty. You see these people. Not only are they drenched in sweat on their face and they've pitted through their shirt, but I saw a guy, his entire shirt was just sweat. Like, he sweat through the front, the back, the sleeves, everything. You just see that throughout the show. And, I really appreciate our fans a lot, fans of the website, fans of the show. And I'm always happy to say hi to them in any situation. But when you're so sweaty and you're so sweaty that you have to wipe your hands off to shake my hand, then why not just say hello and not shake my hand? Because I'm gonna shake your hand. If you put your hand out, I'm not gonna leave you hanging. So if you're a sweaty mess, we could do a fist bump. We could just say hi. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options out there that
hug.
Hug would be the worst. But we don't have to shake hands. I'll shake your hand.
Tongue
and
kiss.
I'll complain about it on the podcast. I won't, do it to your face.
Not to your face.
Not to your face.
Just to the podcast that you listen to.
Just to the 20,000 strangers. But like I said, I'm really sort of half kidding and half being half serious. I'm happy to meet anybody anytime and shake your hand. But if you're sweaty, come on. Help me out a little bit.
Were you miraculously not sweaty?
I've been living here for almost 6 years now, so I've been through a lot of these summers, and I know how to prepare for them. Step one, you got to wear an undershirt. Even if you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, you got to wear an undershirt.
That's a general rule always, yeah. I believe.
Well, when it's really hot and humid, you got to wear an undershirt. Also, you have to bring a towel. Don't forget to bring a towel. You got to. Mandatory towel. So, and I also, this year I brought a bottle of Purell, which turned out to be a good call. So I don't feel that that bad, you know, and you got to drink a lot of water, of course. But it's incredibly uncomfortable at the show this year. I think they have the air conditioning turned down. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when it's open to the public on Saturday and Sunday. I would advise anybody who's thinking about going to think again, unless you like smell and sweat, because there was a lot of that. And not that many games. Well, let's talk about the games. So we did the Vita first thing, me and Jon Snow. Jon Snow was my wingman throughout the whole show, which was really nice.
What did Jon Snow think about the Vita? He seems quite excited about it.
He's excited about it. I think he maybe is out and about more than I am, and he's into the whole portable gaming thing more than I am.
Is he a monster hunter?
He is not. He's not a monster hunter, but he's very excited about it. He hated the whole line situation there, like I did, but he's a lot more excited about it than I am. So yeah, and there's a lot of people that are excited about it, and that's cool. But I'm not one of them. So after we finished with the Vita, we were in the Sony booth, and like I said, everybody is at the Vita section, so you could literally hop on any game you want. So we checked out Dragon's Dogma, which is from Capcom. It's this third-person action fantasy game, not unlike that Lord of the Rings game.
How did they Japan it up? That's all I want to know.
How did they Japan it up? Well, you know, the art style was pretty cool. I don't know that the gameplay is quite there. In fact, what was interesting is we played it on the PS3, but when we were later in the day, we were at the Microsoft booth where they also had it playing. And it looked significantly better on the 360. Like the frame rate looked better and it looked sharper. And I don't, you know, I'm sure it's very early. I don't know if that really means anything at this point. But I don't know. It seemed okay. I would need to really sit down and play with it more. But it didn't seem horrible. It had like, you know, there was a dragon and it was breathing fire. It looked pretty cool.
Did you have to like find an outhouse to save in, or was this timed, or what?
I don't know. It didn't seem. Yeah, you had like guys in your party with you. It's hard to tell like how Japanified it was. Is this one of those games that they're working with a Western developer on? I'm not sure, but I don't know. It seemed like it had potential for people.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because it looks cool to me, but Capcom's burned me several times in the last 2 years of a game looking like something I would enjoy, and then they throw some stupid mechanic in there that just screws it all up.
Yeah. They will.
Like a trade show is not a great place to learn about those types of things. But it has potential, you know, I think definitely both for both you guys. You both like these types of games, and maybe even me too. Then we tried out Azura's Wrath, or Azura's Wrath, I guess, which is really wacky. Boy, this is like, it's like a QuickTime game on speed. I don't know if the whole game revolves around QuickTime events, but there was a lot of them in this demo. But you're running around fast. There's like this huge statue, like ancient Buddha-esque looking statue that's, I don't know, chasing it. I mean, I can't even describe it. It's like a crazy acid trip.
You're not doing a very good job.
I can't. I know. I don't even know what to tell you about this game. A lot of people are really excited about it. It seemed... I hate QuickTime events, so for me, that's almost like a deal breaker. But I've talked to a lot of people at the show who this was like one of their most favorite games that they've seen.
Most favorite.
Most favorite.
I don't think it's all QuickTime events. I think it's a fighting, brawling type of game.
It's yeah, and like the fighting part though was like on a 2D plane, but there's you know, like plane. No, I mean not an airplane. I don't know, you know, not a flying.
This is by CyberConnect, right?
Yes, correct.
So these are the guys that do all the Dot Hack and Naruto
fighting games. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would guess it would play something.
But it
like
doesn't.
Naruto
I game? Don't know. It did from the demo. It didn't seem like it. At all, but maybe.
How
maybe,
many
I don't
Naruto
know.
Games have you played? Chibi?
None, exactly. Zero. So maybe I should stop. Maybe I'll move on. Let's move on. Yeah, so we're still at the Sony booth, and literally, there's no line. You just walk up and play, and there's just no, because everybody's at the Vita booth, the Vita section. I tried Binary Domain. That's the third person Gears of War-esque action game from Sega that has you shooting robots, which, you know, it doesn't really look like it can hold a candle to Gears of War, but I like shooting robots. I have to say, I do like shooting robots, and the robots look cool. You know, and you can shoot their heads off, and they're still, like, moving around.
You can shoot their legs off, too, and they crawl after you.
Yeah, that seemed kind of cool. I don't have a lot of faith in a Japanese company to deliver a AAA third-person action shooter.
This is from one of the Yakuza guys, I believe.
Is it? Okay. You know, it's got the cover system. It seemed pretty, I mean, it seemed fine from what I played. And the demo finishes off with a really big, super giant robot boss battle. And Super giant, and it has one of the things that they were sort of pitching was the voice commands. You can give voice commands. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. How did that work?
Via I couldn't Kinect try it. Or no, there's a Sony booth.
Well, certainly at the Sony booth, there was no Kinect. They and on the show floor, you can't actually do that. If you want to do the voice commands, you have to probably, I think, they had it in enclosed booths at the Sega booth. I didn't try the voice commands. So I don't know.
Because that always works well.
I don't know how necessary voice commands are at this point in the world of video games. But it's, you know, okay. Certainly did not look bad. Then I jumped on Street Fighter versus Tekken, which has a very similar look to the, you know, the latest Street Fighter game, that sort of hand-drawn art style. You know, and it's got, guess what? It's got Tekken and Street Fighter characters, you know, with, you know, in the tag mode and all that. I took Zangief and I did some pile drivers on the Capcom person there, who wasn't very good, obviously, because I beat them.
Zangief? Is that how you pronounce it?
Okay, he said
Zangief?
That.
Zangief is what I always pronounced it. But I don't know.
Well, you and I say it the same way, Ship. I didn't know who you... I thought, like, oh, it must be one of those weird Japanese characters.
one of those new characters.
Zangief.
It seemed cool. I mean, I don't think I would buy it, but for fans of that type of game, I think it's, you know, you'll enjoy it.
Did they announce the Ultimate Edition of that yet?
Right. Yeah, the DLC was available, actually, already at the show. Then I jumped on to Battlefield 3. They had the single player of Battlefield 3. Again, no line at all. It looks really good. And more importantly, it sounds really good. You know, you get to play with headphones on. The gunshots, it's just like ear shattering in a good way. Ear piercing in a good way.
It's like having Michael Winslow on the couch with you.
It's better than that. It's like, it's jarring like it should be. When you shoot a gun... It should be like, you know, when you shoot a gun in real life, it like rocks your body. And you almost get that from the sound in this game. That's how good the sound is. Yeah, it was a really cool mission where you're basically in a huge firefight with, you have a lot of friendly guys on your side, and, you know, it's a war, baby. Looking pretty cool. But I didn't think the graphics were terribly impressive, though. And it's, again, you're playing like 6 inches from a 30-something inch screen, so maybe that had something to do with it. But, you know, the gameplay was there and the sound was there for sure.
It's not going to look as good as the PC version, yeah. But it's going to look good.
It'll be fine, I guess. Yeah. Also, didn't play it, but I checked out Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, although they didn't have the 3D stuff running. In fact, there was no 3D. I didn't see any 3D glasses at the Sony booth, which is a huge difference from last year, which everything, you know, was 3D. 3D glasses
everywhere.
Did you
see any Move?
They had Move there off to the side. They had, you know, Michael Jackson. And so I tend to ignore that stuff, though. We walked right by that. So that was pretty much the Sony booth. It was really all about the Vita for the most part. Checked out Battle Block Theater. The Behemoth have a booth there. They've been there for the last few years. And got to play... You know, like when I played it last year, it was, you know, a versus game. And now this was co-op. And I don't know if the game has become a co-op game or they have both. But it's definitely... There's definitely co-op
now. I completely
forgot
about this game.
It's coming out next year sometime. It looks cool. It was fun. It was fun. It has that Castle Crashers look to it, obviously. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. It didn't rock my world. I'll say that. And also not rocking my world. We went over to the Microsoft booth, which is also a very good place to play multi-platform games. Because you can usually jump right on. And Soul Calibur... Wait, not Soul Calibur 4. Soul Calibur 5, right? Ed wrote Soul Calibur 4.
6.
No. So I got to play that with a nice, very nice Hori sticks there. And I don't know. That hasn't... I don't feel like that game has aged that well. It feels very slow to me.
I think what that game did really well was they made, you know, the first one on the Dreamcast was an amazing game. And I think there was a good, it felt like a long time between the first and second one. And it even felt like there was a good chunk of time between the first and the third one. But between the third and the fifth one, I feel like they're coming out a little too quickly.
When did the last one come out?
I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe?
No, it was earlier than that, wasn't it?
No, it was a long time ago. Really? It's so long ago, I've forgotten about it. And it's hit the bargain bin a long time ago.
Well, I know that it's... I know that
Soul Calibur 4 came out in July of 2009. Or 2008. 2008.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
But I feel like it hasn't really... Like, look, Street Fighter kind of reinvented itself, right? It's like totally different look, and even like the gameplay is even different. But this, I don't know. It just seems just like the last one, even though it's been so long.
Yeah, but I guess you're. I mean, I think you're right because I feel like the other one just came out.
And it's like, and it's slow. It just felt slow. And sword fighting, I feel like sword fighting should be this really fluid, you know, moves chained together. It didn't. It just didn't seem like that to me. It just seemed sort of tedious.
Well, some of the characters are a little bit more heavy than others in that game. So maybe you were playing as one of the heavier characters.
I was playing as the chick with the shield.
Ivy?
Not Ivy, the...
Oh, yeah, you were playing as one of the heavier characters then.
But even the guy, who's the Mizu somebody? Who's the... Mm-hmm. Who's the... who's the Japanese guy?
Zangief.
The Japanese sword. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed...
Mitsurugi?
I wasn't impressed. Yeah, that's his name, Zarugi.
If Takalugi, if everyone was named Karaoke, you'd know how to pronounce it.
Totally. Let's see. So you know, in Japan, their M-rated games are called Z-rated, and they can't put those out on the show floor. They have to put them sort of behind the scenes, and you have to go into like an enclosed area. So,
away from all the scantily clad women.
Right.
They have to keep these games away from them.
Right, with their panties, you know, out, basically.
Away from the pole dancers.
Yeah. So in the Microsoft booth, in their Z section, they had Rage, they had Skyrim, they had Lollipop Chainsaw, Gears of War 3, Dead Island, and One Chambara. And again, we went for the one with the shortest line, which was Rage. Skyrim was the most popular by far.
I've heard good things about Rage.
Well, I'll tell you what, the demo is horrible at TGS. And I think we made the mistake of doing this at the Microsoft booth and not at the Square Enix booth, where we could have probably played to our heart's content. But we basically wound up waiting a very long time, and Jon Snow and I. And when we finally got inside, they basically present you can walk around, you're in a room, you walk outside the room, you get into some guy drives up in like a, you know, a dune buggy type thing. You get in the dune buggy. He drives the dune buggy. You can move the camera around, which seems like it takes forever to get to wherever you're going. And then the woman came over and said, "Your time is up." We never picked up a gun, never fired a gun. We did nothing. And we were ready. And at that point, we were just so annoyed. We could have argued with her, I guess.
I'm really interested to see if I'm going to like that game, because I've seen an awful lot of demos for Rage, and every one of them has been like awful. But I think it just demos poorly.
It's amazing how these game companies can put out these horrible demos and horrible press conferences. It's games. It should be fun. I don't understand how it must be hard to make them look so shitty and so boring.
just give me a section of the game where there's a bunch of dudes in front of me and I have a gun. Like, that's pretty good representation of what I'd like to see.
We just were like, what? Like, what just happened there? So most of the time I was looking at Skyrim because they had three Skyrims set
up. How did Skyrim look?
Skyrim looks pretty fucking good.
Oh, I can't wait.
It crashed. Two out of the three terminals crashed while I was looking at them. When it wasn't crashing, the graphics looked really good. Also looked a little bit, I looked at Lollipop Chainsaw, which, you know, is a really vivid, the colors of that game really just like pop out of the screen. I don't know about the gameplay where you're a cheerleader who's fighting zombies in a school, which is kind of an interesting idea. I don't know that the gameplay is going to be there.
It was pretty basic when I played it.
But the colors were like, it like looks like a comic book.
Yeah, it looks really good. And it's got all the curse words flashing up on the screen and everything.
Yeah, so that's cool. And let's see, what else did we see over at Microsoft? Oh, hey, they had Halo Anniversary on the floor, which I just watched somebody play it. Which
Halo Anniversary? Halo Anniversary?
It looked really good. The graphics look great for that. They've really, it looks like Reach, you know. They did a really good job of updating that, I thought. I don't know if I'm that interested in playing it, but if you are, I think you will be pleasantly surprised with the job they did.
I am. I'm really interested in playing it again, I think.
Did they have that at PAX?
Yeah, it was at the Halo Fest.
Oh, okay. So
you know,
you can check it out there.
Halo Fest.
Duh, Halo Fest, of course. yeah, that looked pretty cool. They had Forza 4 on display, which comes out very soon. They were showing off the Kinect steering on like a little stage there. And they also had like this super crazy Fanatec wheel, like $350 wheel setup, which I was drooling over. So yeah, I'm excited about that. I don't know if I'll actually get the wheel. I'll have to see like if it's really good. But I would probably get that wireless wheel that basically like they're putting out like a version of the Wii wheel. You know, where it's just a wireless thing that you hold in your hands. It's not attached to anything. And I use that at E3, and that seemed pretty cool. So maybe I just get that. And let's see. I heard an interesting rumor from a Chinese guy who was there. This guy, maybe I won't give any reference to him, but he's got a friend that works, you know, in China, obviously, I think at a factory, and basically Kinect 2 is in development right now, is what he said, which will feature, you know, I guess a more powerful processor so that the, you know how now it like sort of lags behind you a little bit or a lot, depending on what you're playing. So supposedly that's going to be gone in the new version of Kinect. So they're not abandoning Kinect. They're moving forward up, you know, up and beyond.
They have no reason to abandon Kinect.
Yeah, it's been, and I guess this, what I'm telling you is probably not that shocking.
It's a little shocking to me that they're going to put out another Kinect for this system.
It sounds like it's happening.
I think the plan is to upgrade Kinect and not release a new system, probably even keep this system longer than even they had anticipated, especially now with the new model is still 2 years old now? I mean, I bet in some circles they consider that to be 2 years into the life cycle.
The new model came out. The new model's only 1 year, right?
1 year. Oh, yeah, that's right. It came out a year ago in
E3. At E3 last year.
Yeah. So the new model's only a year old. Kinect is less than a year old. If they're considering Kinect to be their new console, then there's no reason to make a new Xbox 3, a new sequel, whatever the next Xbox is going to be.
I don't know. I just don't know who's going to buy a Kinect. Like, you're not going to get that. The people who have already bought a Kinect, I don't know if they're going to be.
Well, maybe it's for the new system.
Buy another one.
Maybe it's for a new system.
Maybe it is for a new system. Maybe I'm wrong.
Who knows? Maybe this guy's crazy and doesn't even know what he's talking about.
That could also be, well, this guy heard from a friend in China.
Of course. Well, his friend works in the factory. I didn't really. It's hard to understand the guy.
Have you seen some of the stuff they make in China? I think you could buy a PlayStation 5 in China.
I think this was Kinect, actually.
Exactly.
I got to play. Before. So we went over to the Sega booth. Like I said, they had the EA stuff there. And you could just jump on and play everything. There's no lines for actually, the only thing that had a line was Battlefield at the Sega booth. There was like an hour wait there. And I don't know if that was because they were giving out free dog tags. I don't know if people wanted that or what, but there was a line for that. But like I said, at the PS3 booth, there was no line. So I played Mass Effect 3, which is a lot like Mass Effect 2, which is, I guess, a good thing. It was just a straight up like combat level. I don't know what has really changed. It looks great. Game looks great. They've changed the way that you do the upgrades on your character. The whole skill tree looks completely different. It looks actually a little bit, I think they're a little bit more like Deus Ex, the way that works. Instead of like you're just filling up a meter, you know, you're choosing like a tree. Sort of, but it doesn't even look like a tree.
I'm thinking maybe a little like Dragon Age 2.
I don't know what that looks like, so maybe.
Yeah, probably then.
Maybe, but I was, you know, game looked good. I played through the demo. I rule. I beat it. then I tried out, I don't even remember. Did Mass Effect 2 have, it had like a filter running over it, right?
It was an option.
It was an option. Yeah, that was on there, and it does look good. I gotta say, with the filter looking on it, running on it, it did look quite good. Played Need for Speed the Run. I was down on it at E3. I'm less down on it now because they didn't show anything having to do with QuickTime events. It was just basically straight up racing. They basically had you go from point A to point B, and like they give you like a goal. You have to pass 10 cars before you get to the checkpoint, otherwise you fail, which I failed.
Yeah, that game is hard to handle. Right,
it's if you're used to Hot Pursuit, it's completely different.
It's ridiculous. I think I drove into a wall after about 8 seconds.
You have to brake. It's slower and heavier.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just if you're looking for Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, you're not going to find it there.
No, again, yeah, it has potential to be very good. I think there's a lot of promise to this game, especially if they focus less on being out of the car and focus on being in the car, because that's what the game's all about.
Yeah.
I think this could be a very surprising game for a lot of people, especially because of the realistic handling.
Let's see. Also, we also watched somebody play Star Wars Kinect. They had that up on one of the demonstration areas there. That game doesn't look very fun. I don't know. Is anybody excited about that? I feel like people were excited about that.
I want to be the Rancor monster thing, but that maybe.
Okay, they didn't show that. I didn't see that if they showed
that.
I'm curious
cool.
about it. Curious.
I don't know. On rails, like swinging your arm at like a lightsaber. I don't know, man. I'd rather just play Force Unleashed. Even Force Unleashed 2. I should check that out. I try to get that on the cheap sometime. And let's see. And that was basically it for the show. I mean, after that, we went to Outback Steakhouse. And
what'd you get?
Bloomin' Onion, cheese fries, and chicken sandwich.
No steak at the Outback Steakhouse?
Nah, I don't want to be bothered. It's not going to be good. I know where to go to get good steak,
okay,
and it doesn't have
Outback. That's reasonable enough. You should have said, were you watching your figure after the Bloomin' Onion and the cheese fries?
Right.
I need some chicken.
Yeah, and I didn't get French fries with the chicken. I got vegetables, seasonal vegetables.
Another Bloomin' Onion.
That Bloomin' Onion was so salty, I thought my head was going to explode after I ate it. But that was fun. You know, we had a good time. Let's see. I would say, like, the most popular games at the show from the West were Battlefield 3 and, surprisingly, no Modern Warfare 3. I didn't see it there at all. It certainly wasn't on the show floor. Maybe they were showing, like, a trailer of it somewhere.
Was Activision there?
Well, Activision, you know, Square Enix does all their goodies here.
Okay.
So Square Enix was there, but I didn't see the game on the show floor. Maybe I'm guessing they were showing it on a TV somewhere, like a trailer maybe. But it was surprising that Battlefield was playable and that was not.
It was also not at PAX.
Hmm. I don't know what that means. Uncharted, both on the Vita and the PS3, was very popular, which I was surprised to see. I don't know why, but the wait for both of those was significant. It was very significant. And I didn't play it. I mean, I'd played the multiplayer beta here, so I didn't bother waiting. And Skyrim had a line. And for the Japanese games, Monster Hunter and PlayStation Vita was the star of the show for sure. That's why everybody was interested in. And you know, that's basically the show. I mean, there's just not a lot to do there. I mean, you can see everything there in just a few hours, and that's why I'm not going back today. That's why we're doing this show. So yeah, I don't know what else to say. That's Tokyo Game Show.
I'll tell you two people who stopped listening to you about, I don't know.
Oh, I have actually some interesting rumors that I forgot to mention.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear those. I'm interested.
The word on the street was that Microsoft isn't even going to show up next year. And same with EA. Like basically, like the West is just like, turning their nose up at TGS. So, yeah. It's sad.
It looked really sad looking. Really did. Like the pictures you were taking, like that just doesn't even compare to like a PAX or an E3. Like,
no. I mean, you look at the floor map of it, and you know it's the bathrooms at E3 are more interesting. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but it doesn't compare anywhere to E3. It's not even like you can't even call it E3 Junior. I mean, and they'll get more people at Tokyo Game Show because it's open to the public for half the time. But just in terms of the amount of games there, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction.
It just didn't look like the spectacle was there either. Like
even the girls, there was way less girls. Infinitely less girls. Like Microsoft used to have an army of women there. And now they have like a handful. And everybody, a handful.
A handful. You know, sometimes all you need is a handful.
Right. And when you're in Japan, that's all you're going to get. You're lucky if you get a handful.
There you go.
But I'm bummed. So that's Tokyo Game Show in a nutshell. In a very long nutshell. Anything else? Wait, let's go to CAGBAG real quick. There might be a few questions. Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to VidRhythm. For the iPhone, it's the new Harmonix game. Have you guys checked that out? It's
pretty
funny.
First thing there, I thought you said Vib Ribbon. I'm like, that should be on the iPhone.
No. It basically allows you to make these really funny music videos where it takes your video and your audio. So I made one with Ty, and it takes the audio and it puts it to music. I don't know if you can really appreciate it. Yeah. Well, it's on YouTube. Actually, it's better. Just go to youtube.com.
That was in no way annoying.
Yeah, go to youtube.com/tiespot. I uploaded it there. You can check it out. It's $2. You support Harmonix, who we all love because they brought us Rock Band, which we all love, although not so much anymore for most people, but I still love it. It's fun. You'll definitely get $2 worth of smiles on your face from playing with this thing, especially if you have kids or dogs or cats.
I have kids and dogs.
Yeah, but you don't have the iPhone.
No.
Definitely check that out. CAGBAG. Here's a good question for Shipwreck, I feel. This is from Ian H. Gus. What's the most ideal timing before a game's release to end an embargo?
I'm okay with just like a day before.
That would be my answer.
I would say a day before also. I think it's good to have the reviews out the day before the game comes out, because at least it gives you a chance to cancel your pre-order if you feel so inclined.
Right, exactly. And it gives people a chance to review them and everything too. Like, the Gears of War reviews came out Wednesday of the week before, right? Or Thursday. Thursday of the week before it came out.
Almost a week.
Yeah, I don't really know what that does. Like,
I think there's two reasons for that. One, I think is they were just confident enough in the quality of the game, where they knew the reviews were going to be good. And also, I think a lot of people have already made their decision. But at least it justifies some of these decisions based on reviews, if that's how you go. Also, I think it did, if you looked at a lot of top stories on a lot of websites today, it wasn't about the Sony or Nintendo press conferences at Tokyo Game Show. It was about the review for Gears of War for the Xbox 360. And I think that's a very deliberate and strategic move.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big game. It works for a big game like that.
Yeah, and it takes news away from your competition during their showcase week, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Mathan Cox. I don't know. You know who you are, Mathan Cox. Mm. Do you think Monster Hunter 4 being a 3DS exclusive will help improve its reputation in the upcoming months?
Well, I think his name is Matt Hancock NZ. Like, he lives in New Zealand.
It's Matt. No. It is. It's Matt Hancock New Zealand. Yes.
I disagree. I think he is just involved with Cockins.
Matt Than Cockins.
Well, let me answer your question, sir. In Japan, certainly. I mean, Monster Hunter is crazy here. But in America, people don't care about Monster Hunter in America, do they?
Only if they wish they lived in Japan.
Okay. That is a very good answer.
I like that answer, actually.
So I think that's probably all we have time for today, huh? Is there anything else here we need to get to? Anyone? Anyone? No. Well, let's give a shout out to our new quote-unquote sponsor, audibletrial.com/cadcast. Get your free audiobook download and free 14-day trial. And Wombat and Shipwreck get pizzaid to the Riznade. And you don't have to pay anything. Everybody wins. Right, Wombat?
Everybody, especially my children.
Yes. Won't you think of Wombat's children? Please think of the children. They have like the distended bellies and the flies around them. Won't you give just a few cents a day? It makes a difference. Sorry. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Talk about Gears of War 3. What are we talking about next week, Ship? You got a lot of games in the pipeline, don't you?
We got Gears of War 3. We've got the new Kirby game for the DS. Maybe a few other things. Renegade Ops.
A postmortem on Deus Ex.
Oh, are you almost done with that?
Yeah, I maybe have an hour left.
Cool.
And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I would have probably finished it tonight if we didn't do a show. And who knows? Who knows when X-Men will show up at my house? Oh, and the Nyko Zoom.
You got that?
It should be coming any day now.
Oh, you're getting a review?
I am. Thingy? I is.
That's cool. You is?
I is.
All right. Excellent. Well, once again, everyone, thanks for listening. Thank you for not shaking my hand if you're super sweaty. That's always appreciated. We'll see you next week.
Bread done. Dance time.
Little dance, because it's dancing time. Do a little dance, because it's dancing time. Do a little dance, because it's dancing time. Do a little dance, because it's dancing time.